Sitting down with me today is a rising Texas star who's been heard lately locally here at Commerce Songwriter Showcases. He's a talented vocalist and pianist who has studied at University of North Texas. He's fronted a five-piece jazz band, and he's in the process of getting his name out there. My guest in the KETR studios is Josh Giles. How are you, my friend?
Hey, Matt. It's great to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you so much for coming out, and it's really exciting to talk to you. I want to kind of learn a little bit more about you, if I can. Tell me, where are you from, and where are you currently based?
Sure. Well, I'm from Fort Worth, Texas, and but I'm based here in Campbell. I've got some family ties to the area, going back to when I started piano lessons on my fourth birthday. It was right here in Hunt County.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, honestly, I wasn't sure whether or not you were making the trek from Fort Worth out here or not. So you are living locally here.
That's right.
Awesome,
yes.
Awesome, man.
So we've got some ties on my dad's side of the family to the university, and, yeah, it was a really neat thing. I started on my fourth birthday, and usually they don't take kids that young, but they took we found this one teacher who would take me for 2 weeks on probation, you know, to see if I could make it. Got through it just fine, and she realized that she could work with me.
You know, we met through the Commerce Songwriters Showcase, and I was curious how you were connected to Commerce, but I think that kind of touched on this, right? I mean, you've got friends and family in the area, and you were saying you're kind of tied into the university, so it was obvious that somebody would tell you, hey, they got this Songwriter Showcase thing going on.
Definitely. Yeah, my folks relocated out here a few years ago, and so I came and visited weekends occasionally, and then made the switch. But yeah, they went to the Bodark Bash,
okay,
and they were able to meet Brad there, and they called me so excited, and they said, "You'll never believe who's in town." And at first, they were right. I didn't.
That is true, and he's referring to Brad Davis, a name that we drop all the time here on the show, and I want to ask you a little bit later about him. But that is surprising to a lot of folks. You know, it's the kind of a sleepy little East Texas, Northeast Texas town here, and you don't expect a Grammy Award-winning music producer to be around here. But like I said, we'll talk about Brad in a little bit. You kind of alluded to this already, but music has been an important thing in your life for quite a while, hasn't it?
Sure. Music is so important to me. The sitting down at the piano is a way for me to express myself, and it's always been part of my growing up. And you know, I think especially in Christian music, for me, it's been a really neat way for me to share a gift with people, things that I'm experiencing and feeling, and have them relate that to God and connect people in that way. So,
nice.
Yeah.
That's great, man. I mean, everybody needs an outlet, you know, be it making music or listening to music or whatever it may be, and I think a lot of people are excited that you've chosen this as your outlet. So, So you were, you know, I guess about four when you started playing an instrument, it'd be in the piano.
That's
right. Was
that right.
Your first instrument, I assume?
It was. I learned on a player piano from the late 1800s.
Really?
And so, it had some history. I was not the first
person
to play on it.
I don't think I've ever seen a player piano in person. I've had them on my mind lately from watching HBO's Westworld. Anyway, that's really cool. I mean, how did you
get access
to that?
It was one of those old school, like had the scrolls that you put in the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
And it would play you a tune. They must have made it really well back in the day.
So, all right, here's my question then. Were you really playing it, or did you just put one of those scrolls in and say, "Look at me"?
Yeah, you could play whatever you wanted to play, and you put a scroll in, you get like 20 years experience. Yeah.
Wow, that goals. Is cool. That must have had a certain sound to it too that you can't get on another piano.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And it was way back in like the back room of our house, and it was kind of used as like a storage room and didn't have quite a place to put it. And
yeah.
So I would climb over boxes and get back there and start playing around on it. Fast forward, you know, 5 or 10 years, and I'm still studying piano throughout my growing up, and had a chance to study with a lady named Patsy Bellington, who's in the North Dallas area. And she's, in addition to being a teacher, a performing Southern gospel singer. And so she goes on tours and has records and goes on cruise ships. And so it was neat to learn from someone who could teach me not only about music itself, but how to perform, how to share
Right. Yeah, you really, it helps to have someone with experience to be able to share that with you. Sounds like you found the right person.
Yeah.
We're speaking with Josh Giles here on 88.9 KETR. So, you know, growing up, like, what kinds of music has inspired you? Who are some of your favorites?
Sure. One of my all-time favorites is Ben Rector. He's a guy who grew up a little north of us in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And he did a songwriting challenge in college, and it went well for him. And so he said, hey, maybe I could do something with this.
Okay.
Now he's released like two or three albums. And he just does a really nice job of crafting his own unique identity as an artist. A lot of his songs are really positive and insightful. It's just neat to find that artist and go, wow, you sound like nobody that I know of yet, and it hasn't all been written or recorded yet. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, I know that you're somewhat inspired by jazz, too, aren't you?
That's true. That's true. I spent my college years at North Texas, and I studied classical piano there. But then on the other side of the music building was the jazz side.
Yeah, that's kinda really big there. So.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of the dark side, you know?
Right, they're like, come to the dark side, the jazz side.
Right, yeah. Two different worlds, seriously. But I really started to appreciate that music more and more as I got to know the people who played it. And that love that they had for it was infectious on me. And so that's when I picked it up, and I thought, wow, well, this is a good transition to go from classical to jazz. They're related in a lot of ways.
They are.
And so, I started to put together my own groups after school and thought, hey, you know, we could do something with this, and connected with a jazz really passionate lover of the music in Fort Worth who said, hey, you know, I've got a venue and we'd like to do more of this kind of music here. So.
Okay.
Pretty neat. Yeah.
Man, once you start dealing with those crazy jazz beatniks, man, there's no going back.
That's right. He told me about the Caravan of Dreams in Fort Worth.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And apparently this place used to be like it.
Yes, that's true.
Which the name, it implies that it was some, you know, downtown.
I know.
On a roof, some sort of rooftop, and so...
Yeah. So you mentioned that you were studying at University of North Texas, and I mean, did you get your undergrad there? Or?
I did. Yes.
Okay. You told me about the jazz combo that you started leading a little bit, and that's interesting to know that you have that kind of different side, because what I've heard of you has not been so much on the jazzy side. It's really been on more the I guess the traditional piano ballads with your vocals. But I'd be interested to hear at some point kind of your jazzy side. Maybe when you do a record, maybe you can have a tune that's got a little of that on there.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's a totally different palette to paint with. You get all of those different jazz chords in there, and then you have the ability to improvise.
Yes. That's got to be fun, because music is so structured. You know, I mean, you're literally learning the structure of this song. It has to go this way and that way and take certain turns. But what freedom it's got to give you when you're playing jazz to be able to just go nuts and let your mind on the spot, you know, create the song.
Yeah, it's so true. It's something I used to get in trouble with my classical teachers.
Oh, I bet.
I would come up with a better way.
Yeah. And they're like,
in my perspective.
Wait a minute. What are you trying to do? But, you know, work some jazz in here.
Yeah. They said, you need to go down the hall.
Yeah, right.
We've got a whole department for that.
So, if you will, open up a little bit about your approach to writing songs. What are the sorts of things that act as your muse and inspiration?
Sure. Well, songwriting, I think, is kind of like catching lightning in a bottle. There's all different ways that people have done it, and most of them don't know how exactly they came up with that with that song that really connected
that is
with
true.
People. So I'll be honest, I'm experimenting with it, and I think there's been times where I've got a nice melody, and you work on the words, or other way around. This song that I've recorded and we're going to talk about later, it's called I Grew Up With Him. And that song came about when I went on a conference to, it's called the Immerse Conference in Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And it's put on by the Gospel Music Association. And it just, like the name implies, you're totally immersed in all kind of music and Christian music and all of these artists from not only around the U.S., but my roommate was from South Africa and folks from Mexico. It was amazing.
Nice.
And so I wrote this song. I grew up with him at this conference because we were – there was this time where after all the scheduled events, some of the musicians just got together just to hang out and jam. And so it was just a big circle of us with, you know – 8-10 guitars and people singing harmonies.
Wow.
And a beautiful thing. And as I got to know some of these folks, it was like, made me think about where I grew up, where I was from, and kind of my story, and got outside of my own world. And so made me grateful and kind of channeled that. And this song just really fell into place all at once. Melody, chords.
Oh, nice.
It just kind of fell together. So.
That's how you wish every song would work, right?
Most definitely. Yeah.
And so, and you produced this here in Commerce, right?
That's right. So I debuted it at the Songwriter Showcase and talked with Brad Davis about it. And he said, man, let me know that he believes in the song and it's me as an artist. And so I went in, worked with him on the song, and we just tried to capture that same vibe as it was first displayed at the Mug's Coffee, and there's just kind of some ambient noise and just a nice amount of reverb, and it's relaxed and kind of a coffee house vibe. And so we tried to recreate that in the studio, and in that way it doesn't stick to a strict rhythm. There's not a whole lot of instrumentation,
right?
And it should be something that can just, you know, stand on its own 2 feet.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it doesn't need a lot of instrumentation. I mean, it's really the important parts are your voice and what you're creating through the keyboard. And I'm really interested to hear what Brad Davis does with all these different genres, because Brad is, you know, has roots in bluegrass, of course, toured for years with, you know, all these bluegrass bands and has worked with all these Americana and sort of country styled folks. But lately he's branched out and done everything from literally a heavy metal record recently, just here in the last couple of months, to bringing in someone like you who's doing drastically different types of music. I know that's fun for him. Did you enjoy working with Brad Davis?
Oh, most definitely. He's a guy, he told me the other day he was working on Beethoven's Fifth Symphony in a bluegrass style.
I totally believe that.
So I'm sitting on the edge of my chair waiting for him to release that.
You would not think it would work, but I bet you he's going to find a way to do that.
Yeah. Well, working with Brad was amazing. He preserves the art and makes sure that if there's a musical idea, it's fully explored. He's not a production by numbers kind of guy. He takes you and he not only like tolerates the differences in music, but he encourages that. So
I would like to hear the result of you and Brad Davis's work on this song that you produced at his studio here in Commerce. Is this available now, or is this kind of an exclusive to us?
Sure, this is the debut. For sure. And if folks want to listen to it again, they can find it on YouTube, or they can like my Facebook page, Josh Giles, G-I-L-E-S Music.
I looked around to take in my new world, getting baptized when I turned 3 months old. And even when I was so small, I could fit inside a drawer. My family knew I needed to know my Lord. The greatest gift I ever could receive, His Spirit made its home inside of me. Forevermore, atonement for my sin. I'm so glad I got the chance to grow up with Him.
that really captures all of the emotion and just kind of passion in that song. Well, I'm certainly enjoying talking to you and getting to know more about you and what kind of drives you and your music. Have you or are you wanting to kind of branch out and play like that massive pipe organ that some of these churches have? I mean, is organ something? Obviously, it's not that different other than maybe the pedals or something, right? I mean, can you play organ?
That's true. I can play organ. About a year ago, the church where I'm the director of music at received a 3-rank electronic Baldwin organ. And they were moving it in, and I was there on that day. And they had to unhinge the door to get it in.
Wow.
And
they're not small.
I know. And I was rooting against them. They can't get it in the door. I don't have to learn how to play it.
Okay, I see. I see.
But they did. They brought it in, and I thought, oh boy, yeah. I'm the guy. I've got to learn how to do this. And so ran into a guy named Emmett Smith. Not the football player.
Okay, gotcha.
He's a retired TCU professor in Oregon and started taking lessons. He's got a home studio with a pipe organ in his living room.
Wow.
So he's
the man. I bet his neighbors hate him.
Yeah. Yeah. So I learned how to play from him, and it's been a lot of fun. It makes me appreciate the piano, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so my feet can just sit there.
It's a little bit more simplified to just play the piano, right? It's only got 3 pedals, I think, that you have to mess with, whereas an organ, I don't even know how many. Countless pedals down there.
Yeah, I'm playing the keys with my feet and my hands, and so
That's got to be pretty cool, man. You got to be proud of yourself for being able to pick that up.
Yes, I need full concentration.
Josh, you recently did something with renowned Texas singer-songwriter Darden Smith. Tell me about that.
That's right. My dad's a big fan of Darden Smith, and saw him perform at the Cactus Cafe in Austin, Texas.
A great venue.
Yeah, yeah. And just really became a lifelong fan. Took me to go see him when I was a young kid in a Dallas yoga studio.
Wow.
You can have a concert anywhere.
I guess you can.
Yeah. And it was like candles everywhere. It was a really cool atmosphere. But Darden is a great singer-songwriter. And, he's made music. He said, man, this is what I want to do. He didn't know how he was going to do it, but he made a commitment and gave himself a deadline. And here he is all these years later.
Yeah.
And so Darden does a great program called Songwriting for Soldiers, and he gets together with soldiers and comes up with their story and a song.
Yeah, I know that's something special to him. So
yeah, yeah. And so working with Darden was a full day experience where it was a couple songwriters and Darden, and we went over structure of melody and verses and choruses. We looked at how you shape a lyric. And just like I was saying before, trying to catch that lightning in a bottle.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Nice. Well, that's got to be an experience you'll never forget then, I hope.
Yeah, definitely. To work with somebody who's so seasoned, I would have a thought or an idea and he'd be like 5 steps ahead of me,
Okay.
And it was like, man, he's just so tuned in to crafting songs. It was like being, at the feet of the master,
Yeah, yeah. Nice, nice. Well, that's great, and that's something that if anyone's interested, you can see a photo that you took on Josh Giles' Instagram, I do believe, is where you can see that picture with Josh and Darden and the gang. You also posted a picture on Instagram of your visit to the Texas Music Office in Austin, which is a really cool thing that I've talked about many times here on the show. Did you even know that existed, or did somebody say, hey, you should go down there and check this out?
Yes, it was a wild thing. I met an entertainment lawyer in Nashville, and she had worked at the Texas Music Office as an intern. And she said, yeah, you're walking down the hallway and it's budget meetings and finance and lawyers. And yeah. All of a sudden you get to this room filled with record labels and,
cool.
Platinum albums on the wall. And it makes you feel a little better about paying taxes.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is a government run office for anybody that doesn't know. The Texas Music Office is run by the governor the governor's office. The governor himself doesn't run it, but you get the idea. And it's a really cool thing that basically helps to promote Texas music and Texas artists, and even Texas music-oriented radio stations is something that they kind of promote on their website and everything. Did you enjoy your visit over there?
That's true. It made me, yeah, even more proud to be from Texas and just know that there's so many resources for every kind of industry in Texas, and that they really want our state to be as, you know, fruitful as it can be in all different kind of ways.
That's great, man. I'm so glad that you got to visit. I have not gotten to personally visit there yet. I've only, kind of worked with them a little bit. So that's really cool. You mentioned it earlier, but you've been attending these industry events to kind of help refine your craft.
Yeah, it's the Immerse Conference.
Immerse, that's what it was. And then I think you did another one just recently, and I'm judging this from some stuff that you posted online.
Sure. I also attended the SALT Conference, and it's a community based in Nashville. It's just a resource for the church today and how to reach people and engage people.
You're kind of hitting all these things and touching on the right places to keep your finger on the pulse of what you need to be doing as a rising star. And surely these things are helping out, right?
Definitely. Just to plug into community and be inspired is a powerful thing. I'm always glad to take those opportunities to get outside myself and see new perspectives from other people. Yeah,
that's good. You need to have an open mind, especially when you're kind of starting out and carving your path here. I dare say you are choosing to go into music professionally because, I mean, you've studied it. I think you're kind of you're going all in on this music thing for the most part, right? So and this can be a pretty tough road. I don't have to tell you. You can look and talk to other artists, and they can tell you that, hey, this is not just going to be laid out for you. You don't just get to say, I'm going to be an artist, and then they're like, there you go. There's, just follow this road and to the top. So what is your kind of approach and attitude to make it, man?
That's the same idea that makes becoming a professional musician exciting, is that you are blazing your own trail, and there seems to be just a wealth of people out there who are willing and able to help you. But the hardest part is to define your vision. And so there's record labels and PR firms who are they're ready, and they just go, we want to help you on your vision. What is it?
Yeah.
And so it's bold. You have to be bold and say, this is who I am. This is what I want to do. And by the fact that you're an individual, it means that, you have to blaze your own trail and you're crafting something that there is no formula for yet.
And wishing you all the best in your endeavors. And it seems like you've got the right attitude, and you've certainly got the right sound and the right look. And so, I mean, everything is, in a way, sort of laid out for you. I just think you've just got a bright future ahead of you, man. And people can catch you. First off, you, I think, are becoming sort of regular at the Commerce Songwriter Showcase. That you've been there the last couple of months, as I recall.
That's right, yeah.
I figure that whenever you can, you're going to try to make that a regular stop before you go big time.
Yeah, I bring the keyboard, so any keyboard players out there who are listening.
That's a good point, mm-hmm. because there's not hasn't always been a keyboard there in the past, so Josh will share his if you need to play one
there. A quality for keyboard players amongst guitar players.
There you go. You've also got, you were telling me, a gig coming up in August over in Greenville at the Texan Theater, right?
That's right. They're going to have me out for their arts series on Wednesday, August 29th at 5 o'clock. And so you can come hear some of my original music, as well as getting a bite to eat. They have great drinks there and coffee. And then there's going to be an art show put on by the Rockwall ISD art teachers.
Oh, wow. Cool. Yeah. So that's... I've seen these before, and it tends to be in kind of a multimedia. It's not just paintings. It might be a little bit of everything. So all kinds of different art to peruse there and presumably purchase if you wanted to.
Sure.
But the important part there is catching Josh Giles playing, because, without your ambiance, it's just not a good show.
That's right. Thank you.
Do you have, at least in the back of your mind, plans to maybe release an album at some point?
I do. I've got more original music in the pipeline and at various stages of completion. So this year I'm going to release several more in the hopes of creating that into my first album.
Nice.
Had a minor setback where the puppy at home got to my songwriter's
notebook.
Yeah. Most of the pages are back in order.
Oh,
and
man.
Taped back together.
That's one of the many downsides to going analog, I guess. Is, if he had chewed on the hard drive, it probably would have survived, but paper, not so much.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He's so cute. So
bad dog. Right.
Yes. Very bad dog.
I hope you rubbed his nose in it and taught him a lesson. So, well, geez, there you go. That's a cautionary tale, folks. You need to keep your songwriter's book locked up away from the puppy. Where can listeners keep up with you online? Because you've got a pretty heavy presence all over the important places, right?
Sure. If they want to look up Josh Giles Music, G-I-L-E-S, I'm on YouTube and social media, Facebook and Instagram. And then working on getting to the major music streaming platforms later this year.
Right.
Hopefully want to be on like Spotify and iTunes, things like that.
Josh Giles Music, that's G-I-L-E-S. Pretty much if you type that into your search engine, you're going to be able to find him in all these different places. And I've been having a lot of fun, and I hope this was fun. I think this is your first radio interview, right?
It was. I really enjoyed it. Yeah. It's got a great view.
you would not have known it, I don't think, that this was your first radio interview, because you did great, man. So I wish you all the best, man, and remember KETR when you're going big time so that you can come back and tell us how great everything's going, man.
Oh, of course. You can stream it anywhere in the world, so.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Josh Giles, thanks a lot, man. Have a great afternoon.
Thanks so much for having me.